the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
To arms. That sounds like a call to action right here. That's right. We're here. We're ready. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. It's your source for the best in money information. I'm Johnny Dean. Professor Rick Plum is back with me once again from Lucia Capital Group. And I got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Strategy, really. And the strategy that we're going to be talking about for a segment or two, which is going to lead into a whole bunch of other stuff too, by the way, is one that many people have never even heard of. I don't even hear much of it beyond this particular program. And the strategy has to do with a choice that you could be making as to whether or not you should pay off your mortgage or put that money into a Roth IRA. Now, question might be, why would you want to save your money rather than use it to pay down your biggest debt? Isn't it costing you interest to do so? Well, yes. But what you do with that Roth money, instead of giving it directly to the bank, can actually make you better off if you do it the right way. And this is where the strategy portion comes in. So we're going to tell you about this Roth versus paying off the mortgage strategy coming up here in just a couple of moments. Now, you want to interrupt us? That's perfectly fine. If you've got a topic that's on your mind, something that you just can't wait, you give us a call. We will talk to you about it, whatever it is. Our number in the studio, 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. All the lines are open here at the top of the show. You can also email us at wealthed.com, wealthed.com, our website, the Find Your Answer link near the upper part of the page, on the upper right side, in fact, and we'll read and answer your emails live here on the show. Our brain trust, advisor-in-chief. We made him advisor-in-chief. He just happens to be our own Professor Rick Plum. He's here again, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, who remind you that there are many components to putting together a successful retirement plan. But a big part of all of it is having a workable strategy, a strategy that's tailored to meet your individual goals. Finding the right type of retirement strategy for you is as easy as giving the Brain Trust advisors a call. You can reach them at this phone number off the air, 800-644-1150. Again, 800-644-1150. That's the number at Lucia Capital Group. Give them a call. Anything we talk about on this program at all, anything you need more information on. I know we've gotten some calls on some of these structured products that we mentioned from time to time. You can ask them about that. They're all there to help you out, including Professor Rick Plum, who's here with me for the next couple of hours. So he may not be available on the phone, but you can give it a shot anyway. On the air, if you want to talk to us directly, of course, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Professor Plum, I've heard it said by so many people, a couple of radio hosts that are, you know, big-time national, sort of like us, but on a different wavelength, who have said your mortgage is your biggest debt, which is probably true.
I hope it is.
And thus, you should do everything within your power to pay it down because you could save X number of thousands of dollars in interest.
Right, and they focus on how much you can save in interest. And if you pay extra money into your mortgage against the principal, which brings the balance down, which means that you pay less interest, you will cut your overall interest expense. And the numbers are quite dramatic. I was just looking at some numbers. If you have a $250,000 mortgage and you apply an extra $200 per payment to that mortgage, and it goes directly to principal, reducing the principal, you'll cut your mortgage down to just under 23 years. Just $200 a month more cuts it by over 7 years. So, I mean, you're saving, in this example, about $47,000 in interest. Who wouldn't want to save $47,000 in interest? Sounds pretty good, right?
Sure. That's a couple of cars at least.
Okay, going back to that expense.
Yes.
So the idea, though, is what they do not talk about is what's the opportunity cost? What could I have done with that $200 a month if I had done something besides put it against the principal of the mortgage? What if I put it in the bank account? What if I invested it? Or what if I can do a Roth IRA with it? I think that would be one of the best options available. And a lot of people don't seem to have enough money to fully fund their Roth IRAs, but they end up listening to the people that say, get out of debt, get out of debt, get out of debt, get out. And I don't have a problem with somebody who says, get out of debt, and they can do it in the next 4, 5, 6 years. Because over that time horizon, now we're looking at an investment decision. What can I earn investing over a 4 or 5 year period of time? On a guaranteed basis, 2%? I mean, come on, a 10-year treasury is under 2. So paying off the mortgage very quickly, when you have a very short period of time left, that can make a lot of sense, especially from a cash flow standpoint. Cash flow later.
All right, so,
but
so let's
22 years? Come on. What do you think you can earn over 22 years? Dollar cost averaging into the stock market, into the bond, forget the bond market, but dollar cost averaging into a diversified portfolio or even just the S&P 500 or any, pick a growth investment that you dollar cost average into for 22 years. I think that you can probably earn better than the cost of the mortgage. Plus, you'll get an extra little bit of tax deduction.
Okay, so let's take your example then. There is somebody. We have two people. They both got. I don't know how big a mortgage you want to use.
$250,000.
They both got. They have the same interest rate.
They have 4% interest rate.
Okay, so they both have an extra $200 a month.
Right.
To put.
So they can either
somewhere.
Put it into. That's all they have extra though. It's $200 a month. They can either put it into their Roth IRA or they can put it into their mortgage and be paid off in 22 and a half, almost 23 years.
All right, so neighbor A is putting it into his mortgage, and he's going to have it paid off instead of in 30 years, he's going to have it paid off in 22 some odd years.
We're 42 years and 2 months old. Both of us, we're twins.
Okay, all right, okay.
And we want to retire at 65, and we want to be debt-free when we retire at 65.
Okay.
So by putting that extra $200 a month into the mortgage, assuming I stay in that house, that's another issue, but
it's all the same.
I will be debt-free at retirement. I will no longer have that monthly payment for my mortgage at once I'm 65 because of the way the numbers work out. I did it on purpose.
Oh, and by the way, you retired it in 22 point something years.
Right at 65.
Right at 65, and look at all the interest you saved.
I saved $47,976 in interest.
So almost $48,000 in interest was saved just by taking that $200 a month and putting it toward the principal of your mortgage. Now, that's what one person did.
Right.
Now,
the other person said, 22 years, there may be some time where I need that extra $200 a month, but I'm going to plan on saving it, and I'm going to put it into my Roth IRA. So here goes. I'm going to just pay my regular mortgage payment. I'm not going to add any extra principal to it, and I will accept the fact that at 65, I will still have a mortgage.
Okay.
But
now,
I'm also going to have some money in my Roth IRA. What might I have? What do you think you can earn? What do you want to try to earn over that same period of time? What do you think? 7% on average?
Let's call 7. 7 seems good over a 22-year period of time.
I will have about $134,464 in my Roth IRA.
$134,000 sitting in my Roth IRA. And that's because I put $200 a month not toward the mortgage, but I put it toward a diversified portfolio of some type that earned over 22 point whatever years.
But I'm not debt free.
7%, but I still owe money. How much do I owe on my mortgage at this point?
I still owe a little over $89,000.
$89,000, and my buddy who's been putting it toward
the mortgage. He's debt free.
He's paid off. He owns a home.
He doesn't have a payment of almost $1,200 a month anymore.
But guess what else he doesn't have?
He doesn't have $135,000 in his Roth IRA either.
Right.
I have a choice. I can either withdraw $89,000 and change from my Roth IRA, tax-free, by the way, and pay off my mortgage. I'm debt-free. But unlike my neighbor, who is also debt-free but uses money to pay down the mortgage over the 22 years, I've got $45,000 left over in this hypothetical example of cash in my Roth IRA.
So wait a minute now.
I didn't. Not only did I not save the 40, I mean, I didn't spend the 47, I added to my net worth by actually paying some interest.
So now, by doing it this way, by putting it into the Roth over those 22 years instead of paying it off, you're both 65, you've both paid your mortgage off, except
neither one of us have a payment anymore.
Except now, person A, who just put it toward the mortgage, has no mortgage, but they also don't have any savings in this example.
Right.
The other person has no mortgage, and they've got another, what was it, 40?
Well, $45,000.
$45,000.
Now, what's the difference between if I have the same, it was the exact same out of pocket. Now, the reality is it's not the exact same out of pocket because through the years, the deduction, the interest deduction for the person who didn't pay it off as fast as the other one actually had a bigger interest deduction, save some money on taxes each year. Not only did they build up the Roth IRA, build up the savings account, have the ability to be retired at the same time, they maintain their tax deduction. This is a byproduct, not the reason to do it, but it helps. You know, I got a bigger tax deduction than John did for paying his house off early.
Yes.
It's still the same dollars out. Coming out of my check, paycheck, my checkbook every month was the $1,200 a month payment and 200 extra. The difference was instead of putting 1400 against the mortgage, I was putting 1200 against the mortgage and 200 into a savings investment account Roth IRA. My out-of-pocket was identical. The ending result was not identical. And so we're looking at which way makes more sense.
Yeah, and there's the other part of it too, where somewhere along those 22 plus whatever years, if somebody loses their job, something happens, and they need some extra cash along the way, person A, who's been putting it toward the mortgage, has to go to the bank on their hands and knees and beg for it to borrow it that they have to pay back. Person B, who's been putting it into the Roth, has the money right there sitting that he can get to at any time. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to talk more about this. If you've got questions, you give us a call. Should you pay off your mortgage early? Should you not? That's another topic we're going to talk about. 877-PLA-NNER. Lines open. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, Bucket Strategy Invest. Welcome, boomers and everybody, to the program. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, the Springfield Daddy. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Answering money questions here. We'll talk more about this. This is a great strategy. I hope you heard it last segment, what we're talking about with regard to paying the mortgage or putting the money into a Roth IRA. It is a wonderful strategy, but there are reasons why you may not want to consider that. We'll tell you more about it. I want to take some calls. But there are pros and cons to everything. It's not that everyone's strategy is right for every single person. So we'll tell you what the difference is coming up. But let's get back to the phone lines. 877-PLANNER, still three lines open. Don is next in Mound, Minnesota. Hello, Don.
Hi there, gentlemen. Rick, I have a question follow-up. You explained it to me on the divorce in the family for the 401k being transferable to the IRA.
Okay.
If I understood that correct. The question that I have here is, if the party that's receiving the split, not the working individual who's giving the split,
right?
It can that be transferred to a conventional IRA, even though the party that's receiving it has never worked or has been part of an IRA?
Sure, not a problem.
Okay.
The individual opens a new IRA, a traditional IRA. And that new traditional IRA accepts the transfer from the worker, in this case, you called them that. The money is being split because of a divorce, and it comes in and go right into his or her IRA, and it's as if it was his or her forever and ever and ever. They are the owner of it. They worked. They put up with the worker while the worker was putting the money into the 401k. So it's not an issue. Can be done all day.
Okay, and the person that is splitting it off, the earner doesn't have to pay a penalty or a tax on the part they split off to the receiving party. Is that correct, too?
Assuming all the legal paperwork is done, the T's are crossed, the I's are dotted, you have the right legal divorce documentation in place, it's not a taxable event.
Thank you very, very much. I had missed that on the first call before. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, Don, thank you for the call. Now, this goes back to an earlier call.
From the other day.
Right, I think it was a daughter or somebody who's going to.
I believe it's his daughter
is divorced.
And they're splitting up the assets, part of the assets.
And it's
split.
An amicable thing, so that's so far that's good.
And part of the assets that are being split are the workers, the former husband in this case, his 401k. And so they're going to split that up 50-50. And so the incident of a divorce, you can, through the proper terminology, paperwork, qualified domestic relation orders, all this kind of good stuff, transfer money from a 401k from an individual to their soon-to-be ex-spouse on an incidence of divorce and have it be a non-taxable event. And so his daughter, in this case, would now have an IRA with money in it. And if she's under 59.5, she has all the same rules of 59.5, everything else. One key issue here, though, is let's say she needed some money right now. She actually could. Let's say that the distribution was a $200,000 transfer going to her IRA. The 401k was $400,000. They're splitting it in half.
Nice 401k.
Yeah, he's going to split off, give her $200,000. But she may want some money. And so she could say, send $180,000 of the $200,000 to the IRA and send me $20,000 through this quadro. And she can do that. And because it's because of a divorce, due to the divorce, she does not have to pay a penalty on that $20,000 she receives not being transferred over to the IRA.
They're taxed.
It's still taxable. There's no way out of that one. But she could potentially receive some money without having to pay any taxes on it, or okay, without having to pay any penalties on it, even if she's not 59 and a half.
So if somebody has, in a divorce, somebody has a 401k, they're the sole owner. Let's say in this case it is the husband, because that's what it was. There's nothing that says that the wife or soon-to-be ex-wife is legally entitled to that, though, right?
That's
that
all
has
negotiated
to be worked out in the divorce.
That's
right.
In the property settlement, because what you can do is say, okay, I'll keep this, you take that. I mean, right, maybe the house is paid off, it's $400,000, and he's got the $400,000, you know, instead of splitting that, they just say, you take the house, I'll take this. Whatever you guys agree upon through the divorce is what you agree upon through the divorce. But typically, most things are going to be split somewhat 50-50, depending, again,
yeah,
how long they were married, when,
exactly,
you know, how much the person had in the 401k before they got married. There's lots of different negotiating points.
Qualified Domestic Relations Order, Quadro, that's what they're called. All right, 877-PLANNER, I had a question on what we were talking about. Let's go down to John then next in Palm Harbor, Florida. Hello, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, what's up?
Regarding the example Rick Plum was giving on the $200 invested towards the principal of the mortgage versus the Roth IRA, he left part of the calculation out. His numbers didn't include the 7 years. If you invest $200 in your mortgage, you pay it off in 23 years. Now you have freed up $1,200 that you could invest at, let's say, 7% for 7 years towards a Roth IRA.
Well, I didn't include the 7 years because I paid off the mortgage at the 23-year mark in both cases. So what I did was I moved forward the 22 years, 10 months that it took to pay off the mortgage. And at that moment, I paid off the mortgage in both cases. One was through $200 a month. One was through an $89,000 distribution from the Roth IRA. So in each case, the person was paid off at the exact same time.
So both individuals have freed up now.
So
the
both
extra
individuals
$1,400 a month.
Have the, you know, the extra money or whatever it is going forward. They don't have the payment. Neither one of them has a payment.
They're both mortgage
at the 23-year
right.
mark. They both were paid off.
Okay, so the example, too, he didn't go to the 30 years and pay it off, which would have
nope. He could have. And so what you can do with that case, you've now got, in the example that I used, where you were saving the $200 a month into a Roth IRA, and you earned roughly a 7% rate of return over that 23-year period of time, your Roth IRA is now $135,000 based on those assumed numbers. And so $130,000, you start pulling your $1,200 a month mortgage payment out of that over a 7-year period of time. So you're using the Roth IRA to make the mortgage payment for the next 7 years. Mm-hmm. At the end of the 30 years, you still have the money that's growing in the Roth IRA. You can do it either way. The way I did it, I thought was the cleanest and easiest way to understand it, that both people made $1,400 a month payments for 23 years. Both people were completely paid off at 23 years. One did it one way, the other did it the other way. One was debt-free but didn't have any extra money in their Roth IRA. The other one had extra money in their Roth IRA.
And
we were dealing
debt-free.
With exactly the same points in time.
Okay, that's where I misunderstood. I thought the guy who went to the Roth IRA kept his mortgage the full 30 years. And what I thought was missing, at 23 years, the guy who invested the mortgage at 7 years where he could actually invest $1,200 a month towards the Roth IRA, and he'd end up with $129,000 at $1,200 a month for 7 years at 7%.
Right, but in my example, neither one of them had a payment after 23 years.
Yeah. Okay, good deal.
All right, well, John, thanks for the call. Always good to clear that up.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's the idea being they're both in exactly the same position. One happens to have an extra $40,000 to deal with. The other one, who's been paying the mortgage $200 a month for 23 years, has nothing.
Right, and so in either case, they each of them has an extra $1,200 a month. Usually it's a matter of they're not spending it.
Well,
because 14, of retirement.
Really, because...
Yeah, but the payment is only $1,200.
Yes.
So if we want to be apples to apples from that point forward, the payment is only $1,200. You're going to win with the Roth IRA in this example, as long as you earn a little bit, as long as you earn the same amount of money or more than the mortgage interest rate is costing you.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to talk more about this and anything else that you want to talk about. Questions, answers, we got them all here. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, talking strategy and money with you when we return. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. 877-PLANNER, our number. Getting back to your calls in just a second or two. But remind you that coming up tomorrow, just very little time, Professor Plum, you are headed to Phoenix today. Scottsdale, actually, but you're headed to the area. Phoenix for the workshop that's happening, the 2016 Retirement Income Strategies Workshops, brought to you by Lucia Capital Group. We got folks signed up, and we got room for more. If you want to meet the Brain Trust in Phoenix, Scottsdale, that area, you give us, actually go to our website, wealthed.com. Tell us you're coming. There's no cost. You want to be there, bring your money questions, learn all about retirement income strategies. That's for tomorrow in Phoenix. After that, a week from tomorrow, Portland, Oregon, and then Houston, Texas on Saturday, April 9th. Just a couple of hours worth of your time, and I can virtually guarantee you're going to find something very, very useful there, if for no other reason than to get your money questions answered. WealthEd.com, Phoenix, Portland, and Houston, the next three. Want to see you in Phoenix tomorrow with the Brain Trust. Again, WealthEd.com. All right, now, very quickly, before we get to William, hang on 1 second, William. We had a call last segment about our mortgage strategy. After 23 years,
right,
we have both individuals have paid off the mortgage.
Right.
Okay. One put in $200 a month dutifully every month, and just by putting extra toward the mortgage is paid off.
Right.
After 23 and a half years. The other one put it into the Roth. The other one, after 23 years, says, I'd like to be debt-free, took money out of the Roth and paid it off, and they're both debt-free.
So in either case, they don't have a payment.
Right, and they both have $1,200 a month extra to invest. Now, what if the other one says, well, I got $135,000 in my Roth. I'm going to let my Roth pay for this mortgage.
Right, so you set up an automatic payment from your Roth IRA, and in essence, you're no longer making the payment. This account over here on the side that you wouldn't have had otherwise is making the payment.
The Roth.
The Roth account. And which means that you have the same $1,200 a month that your neighbor has to save and invest if that's what you want to do. Our last caller did the math and said that if over the next 7 years you did that, you would end up with $129,000. Okay. In either case, they're going to end up with $129,000.
Both of them.
In either case, neither one of them is making a mortgage payment. In my case, the Roth is making it. And what if I just put the money in a bank account and I earned 1% on the money I'd accumulated in that Roth IRA? And I took my almost $1,200 a month payment out of the, you know, set up on automatic to pay the remaining payments. I would still have $33,000 in my Roth IRA, even if it only earned 1% over those remaining 7+ years. So I still have my savings and investment, or I have no payment. I have better cash flow, and I still have money in any situation that we're dealing with. The key is, what did I earn from the day one of the mortgage till the 274 payments, the 22 years, 10 months that it took to pay it off? If I can earn a rate of return in excess of the cost of the mortgage over that 22-year, 10-month time horizon, I'm in a better situation.
You're ahead of the game. Right.
If I cannot earn, for whatever reason, I don't feel that I can, I don't want to take the chance, that I can earn as much money in the investment account as I could have, as what it is guaranteed to cost me in interest over that same period of time, then it's an issue. So that's why if you can have it paid off in 3 or 4 years, it makes sense to pay it off in 3 or 4 years. If it takes you 25 years, it makes more sense to invest.
Yeah, we'll talk more about this a little bit later on. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We take our phone calls first, and we still have one or two lines open, 877-752-6637. Let's move along to William up next in Las Vegas. Hello, William.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to pose a question that has two possible answers on it.
Okay.
I live in Las Vegas. I have my family in Las Vegas. My mother lives in Los Angeles, and there's a property that she has. She's 90 years old, and she's had a lot of medical conditions where the Medicare has been covering her. The property is pretty much paid all in full. I'm the one that has paid the mortgage for her. And I would like to know, number one, how can I protect that property from Medicare, whoever actually taking ownership on the property once my mom passes away? And number two, if I can retain the equity on that property, how can I best invest that money for family and for my own financial well-being?
Now, is this your mom's home, the house that she was living in?
I beg your pardon, what's the question?
Is this your mother's residence, the house that she was that she lives in or would be living in if she could, if she was not in a home? I don't know if she's in a home yet, but...
she's not in a home yet. She's at home, and she's being taken care of at home.
And this is her primary residence?
That is correct.
Well, in California, the state has had a hard time, Medi-Cal has had a hard time going after a home that somebody lives in or has a presumption that they can potentially move back to if they were ever to go into a home. So most of the time, and this is where you may want to talk to somebody in elder care or basically in Medi-Cal in California, but most of the time, the home is an exempt asset in California, at least up to certain levels. So I would check to see if you could get it exempted, you know, basically look into applying for Medicaid or Medi-Cal for her, and try to exempt the home, because then it, you don't have to worry about transferring it or doing anything else with it, and then she's eligible for Medi-Cal. But most of the time in California, they haven't gotten to the point where they can go after it. And also, after mom passes away, they haven't been able to, through the courts, attach a property. Other states have found ways to do it, but so far from what I've been reading, California has not been able to attach the house. Now, they're trying to, and they keep trying different ways legally, so it may happen in the not-too-distant future. But really, that's what's going to, you know, right now it's an exempt asset. If you can get it exempted, then you could actually gift it away. The other problem, though, is if you do take ownership of the house before mom passes away, you take over her basis. She's presumably lived in this house for a long time. William, what do you know what she originally paid for this house and how long ago she did this?
$19,000 about 30 years ago.
And what's the house worth today?
$650,000.
Right, so if you were to transfer the house to your name, you have a basis of $19,000 or whatever her basis is if she's done some upgrades to it since then. So if you were to sell it, you would have a capital gain of, you know, close to $600,000 because it's not your primary residence. So you do pick up that tax on that particular investment. If mom holds on to it until her passing, then there's a resetting of the basis. You know, if you wanted to sell it at that point, there's no tax upon sale. So you've got these two different sides working for it. I would discuss with a Medicaid or Medi-Cal individual in California the ability for her to get on Medi-Cal, help from Medi-Cal, and exempt the house as a Medi-Cal eligible asset, and then that'll dictate which way you go from there. But otherwise, it's very difficult to transfer houses, especially if you transfer it before it's an exempt asset. And then you try to apply for it.
They're going
to
look back.
There's a 30-month look back. They're trying to increase that to 60 months in California. California has not complied with that yet. So it could make her ineligible for Medicaid, for Medi-Cal, for a long time.
Let's say, an irrevocable trust play, would that play a part on protecting it?
An irrevocable trust is a gift, so that's going to be just a flat-out gift. It's as if, you know, that's not going to do you a lot of good. There is something that they use in California, and I'm not going to tell you I understand all the ins and outs of it. It's called an intentionally defective grantor trust. It somehow does not remove the asset for the estate, but it does remove it for the Medi-Cal lookbacks. I don't know if it works or not. I've been told that it does, but I'm not an attorney to tell you that it can or can't.
You
talk with somebody in your mom's area about that.
All righty. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, William, thank you for the call. It's an interesting situation there.
But the primary residence, the personal residence, is one of those assets that is very difficult for the states to go after.
Well, yeah, and it's intentionally done that way because nobody wants to have their personal residence taken away.
And it's a lot more difficult if there's a surviving spouse. But even when there's not a surviving spouse, the states have had issues. Now, some states have been able to put a lien against it after death to recoup the cost for the Medicaid that they've forwarded to the individual. So we have to look at what is the cost of the medical care and things of that nature. Mom's 90. She has some health issues. Question is how much?
And
you really need to talk to somebody in the Medi-Cal system in California.
And I've heard of those intentionally defective grantor trusts before, which sounds like an odd thing to do, but they really do exist.
Yes.
And they're designed to
exempt the asset.
Yes, through some proper wording in what's known as a grantor trust.
But they don't work in every state. I've only heard of them being used in California.
No, and I've never seen actual incidents where they have worked.
Well, I've seen actual instances where they've been used, and so far the Medicaid, Medi-Cal system has not come back on them.
So far.
But it's only been a couple of years.
Right. You never know what states are going to do. You know, states are desperate. They have to have a balanced budget. There's no two ways about it. Okay, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. We got more mortgage talk. We got Roth talk, a whole lot of things. But whatever's on your mind, you give us a call. We will answer those questions first here. 877-PLANNER. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, talking to you about your money and doing what we can to help you out with your money strategies. I want to remind you, too, one more time, at least for this hour, that there's going to be a workshop. Professor Plum will be headed out of here today. In fact, right after this program, he'll be out of here in a cloud of carbon monoxide, headed to Phoenix/Scottsdale for the next workshop. That happens tomorrow. There's still some room, and we'll make room for anybody that wants to come by. We keep it, you know, fairly small, but not so small that you can't show up. So let's put it that way. Go to wealthed.com, wealthed.com. Sign up. It's all free. Phoenix tomorrow, followed by Portland a week from tomorrow on the 19th, and then Saturday, April 9th, Houston, Texas. If you want to know the full schedule, you go to wealthed.com, which is where you sign up. Free, of course, wealthed.com. You'll find out where we're going to be throughout the month of April as well. Would love to see you there, and I really think you're going to get something out of it. Okay, 877-PLANNER. We're going to continue more with the calls. Got more to say on these mortgages, but we'll take the calls. 877-752-6637. John, San Rafael, California. Hi, John. How can we help you today?
Thanks for taking my call here. Actually, I got two questions. If you can answer, fine. If not, at least try to answer one of them. My first question is, okay, I built a home in Hawaii, and I'm trying to find out what do I need to do to establish a cost basis for that home? And then that's my first question. And then my second question would be, if I want to loan money, a personal family loan to someone, do I have to charge them a interest? And what kind of tax implications might I be running into? Might I have?
Let's take the house.
I'll take your answer off the air.
No. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Let me get before we answer it. The amount of money that you want to loan to the individual, how much are you going to loan them?
It's most likely in the area of about $200,000.
Are you married?
Yes.
Okay, now does the person that you are going to loan this money to, do they have an investment portfolio? Do they have bank accounts that earn a lot of CD money, interest, dividends, capital gains, anything like that?
No.
Okay, so let me just finish the gift loan first. You can make a gift loan to an individual. Your wife can make a gift loan to an individual. A gift loan is a loan of $100,000 or less. And as long as the person you're loaning the money to does not have any investment income, you do not need to accrue. You do not need to charge any interest. You don't need to impute any interest. So there's no interest that you have to show on your tax return. There's no interest that you have to charge them. So that's a gift loan. It has to be under $100,000. And the person receiving the money can't have investment income. So you can, between you and your wife, basically give them $200,000 and then they give you back $200,000 over the next X number of years. You don't have to show any interest. You don't have to charge them any interest. So does that make sense?
So it's $200,000, $100,000 for myself and $100,000 for my wife.
Correct.
And that can be there's no time period. We can do it tomorrow or something.
Right, you can do it tomorrow. I would put it in writing, and I would say that the payments, I expect payment of such and such to, make it a bona fide loan, and say, you need to pay it back $10,000 a year over the next 10 years or whatever the number is. But you make it a real loan. You can look it up. You can do some research on gift loans. But as long as that individual doesn't have any investment income, you don't have to impute any income. The reason that last part of it is there, they don't want you, who may be in a high tax bracket, loaning somebody else in a lower tax bracket and them earning interest and other things on the mortgage, and where it would have been in your name being taxed at your name. So, but as long as they don't have any investment income, you can do a gift loan. Now, as far as establishing a cost basis for your house that you built, it's basically everything you paid for it, all the plans, the fees, the permits, the materials. There is no accounting for your time. Now, obviously, what you paid other people to work is part of the cost of building the house. The time that you put in building the house, you can't say, well, I spent 1,000 hours working on it, and my going rate is $50 an hour, so I'm going to raise my basis by $50,000. No, it doesn't work that way. You cannot build in an imputed expense for your time on the basis, but everything else that you paid for is an expense to creating that basis.
Okay, and then just the way you keep track of that is just have receipts and stuff and keep it in a file or something, or
right, and then just have that all ready. It's unlikely they will ever question it, but if they do, you want to be able to show them here. Boom, 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 boom. Have a ledger, a spreadsheet ledger, that shows every cost, and then have the receipts being able to back it up. The reality is, if they ever question it and they see a ledger that says, here's all my expenses, and they start looking through receipts and they're easy to identify and it's like a very coherent, very methodical order, they're not going to look at all your receipts because they're going to say, okay, this guy's got it. But if you have a mishmash where you can't show anything, they're going to argue with it more if they ever question it.
Okay, so then let me just finish this up then. So that house is built. It comes out to about $200,000.
Uh-huh.
We loan that money to our daughter who's interested in purchasing that house. What kind of records do we have to keep for that?
Well, what's the purpose of loaning her the money? You just want to give her the house, it sounds like.
We want to recuperate what we put into it, right?
By giving her the money?
Well, no, not giving her the money, loaning her the money.
Okay.
In other words, she would be buying a house that she can't. She's not in a position to actually buy a house. So.
Okay, so you just want her to pay you the money, but
that we put into it.
Right, but if you give her the money, and then she pays you back, it's still the same thing. The only money you got back was your own money.
Right. I think they don't care. I think what they're just allowing her to actually make the purchase so that she's buying the house.
I don't see where the advantage is here. She's buying the house for $200,000. You're giving her $200,000. She's paying you back $200,000. She still hasn't put any money into the property other than the money you gave her.
Right, right.
So,
we're retired, so we use the maybe whatever the monthly payments to kind of live off of.
You could create a monthly payment for the $200,000 without giving her the money. Just give her the house.
I can do that without the IRS having to record the money that we're. I mean, that money is already our money anyway, and it's been taxed, so it's
right.
Not like it.
The house is your money. Already, and it's also been taxed on the basis, the $200,000, whatever the number is. So you're either giving her $200,000 in cash
that she'll get back, or just give
out. In either case, she ends up with a house.
Yeah. I'm out of time, John. If you have some more questions, hold on. We could talk to you more about this, but we got to finish up the hour. If you need the brain trust off the air, you can talk to them at Lucia Capital Group at their phone number, 800-644-1150. That includes Professor Plum, 800-644-1150. Melissa, hold on. We'll talk to you next when we come back for another hour of Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.